In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. That's the start of the Holy Passion Week. The first day, it's important to have a bit of concentration on the meaning of this Passion Week. Today is the most crowded day in the Coptic Church because of the concept of salvation, because of the call Hosanna in the highest, save us. The Palm Sunday is a very touchy day because of the concept of salvation. Many of us do not realize that, but that's the truth. You have to realize the importance of salvation. We live on earth all the time thinking of desires of the earth, to become rich, to become more successful, stronger, and so on. But the concept of salvation in the highest is not very clear to us, but there is something programmed in us that makes us feel it. This hymn of Legionnaires, which says, "Blessed is he comes in the name of the Lord," something that touches our hearts because it's the same feeling that the day we leave the earth and see the Lord face to face. That's the same feeling, the same desire of salvation. Save us in the highest. Give us a chance to be saved, because without this, your salvation, without your redemption, we have no chance. We are sinful, we are condemned to spend the eternity away from their glories. But through his salvation, it's possible. There is something that touches the heart about his presence. That's really the start of maturity. Many of us come to the church, deal with people, there's social life, there's something to do, always here, even having Holy Communion, confession, and whatever. But the maturity of understanding the concept of salvation is not clear. Until they face a situation, then they understand. Some people have that feeling. There is a special vision that happened to a number of people over the years that is always repeated. That is, I see an example of that type of vision about salvation. I may have said that to some of you before. It's a real vision that one of our young ladies saw. She was born Muslim and she lived as Muslim until she was in her 20s. Then she knew Christ and she was baptized and she became Christian in Egypt in a secret way. And possibly something was doubtful in her mind about, did I take the path or not, is it the right way? And then she saw a dream that is not a dream, it's actually a vision that touched her heart, and she always remembers that with joy. It was that she was caught in a dark place by horrible creatures, too scary, that caught her, dragged her by force, and she was crying, leave me, help, help, there's no help. They were laughing with sarcastic type of jokes, and very scary creatures grabbing her by force. She was in agony, crying, help, help, where can I get help from? And all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ with his light came, and everything was different. These creatures were scared from the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he smiled to her and he said to them, leave her, she's mine, leave her, she's mine. Then she said that, I knew what's meant by salvation. Now I know what's salvation. Salvation is the feeling that without him, our eternity will be with the one that has no mercy. The devil has no mercy. When Satan starts drowning us, he doesn't stop at just making us sin. He starts trampling on us until we become hopeless, until there is no hope for us. You see that, for example, from people that were caught in drug addiction. You see what happens to them. Gradually, step by step, the type of drugs that they change, until they arrive at a type of drug that everyone knows that there is no solution, there is no healing. The best we can do is to minimize the consequences of the behavior and the paranoia that they develop after having this drug. And when you see that, you see what's meant by salvation. You understand how the Lord can save us from this agony. This is very, very important. Important for us in this week, because it is the symbol of maturity. Am I really interested in knowing Christ as my Savior? Am I coming here with the vision that I need this week to be revival for me, that I know Him, so I can speak to Him and He speaks to me? Will I be able that on the last day He'll say, I know Him? You know that expression that the Lord used number of times when people knock on His door and He says, go away, I don't know you. I always remember when Augustinus, when he was saying that in one of his sermons in a funeral, saying that if a foreigner come and knock at the door and say, can I come in? You can't. You have to know him. You can't allow a person that you don't know to enter your house and have freedom to do something in your house without knowing him. That's exactly the kingdom of heaven. The Lord has to know us. We have to be known to him. How? By maturity of understanding the meaning of him as my Savior. I start loving him. I start obeying him. The promises that he spoke to his disciples before the cross were amazing. Among the promises that he said to them, he said, if you have my words, if you are fixed in me, and my words are fixed in you, then you can ask whatever, and it will be yours. So we can be elevated from our level as humans to be a bit of God, because he is in us, and we are in him. The expressions that the Lord used about this relationship are sometimes confusing. For example, the expression that we are partakers of the human nature, of the divine nature. The Lord elevates us to the extent that we become friends of the divine. The divine will become in us and we are in him. So through him, that's the concept of salvation. We have a chance to live in eternity. We have a chance to live in the glory because he is in us. It's not our nature to live forever. Living forever is not the human nature. The human nature is to die because of sin. We are spoiled by nature. But the Lord is capable, when he is in us and we are in him, to we live on him. We live in his life. Today is a day full of feelings, different feelings, and at least three types of feeling I like to display in front of you. The first feeling is the children, the kids, crying loudly out of joy, saying, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Lord said about them, if they stop singing, then even the stone will sing. Those are the pure-hearted kind of people that understand salvation, understand the feeling of being close to him. And there is, unfortunately, the leaders of the Jewish nation that are too complicated. They are thinking of themselves, their dignity, their future. The whole world left us following this carpenter. We are good for nothing. The whole congregation, you know, of course, the event of the day. Today, the Lord entered Jerusalem from a special gate. The name of the gate is important. The gate that Jerusalem is surrounded with a fence, having a number of gates at that time. He entered from a special gate that has a meaning. You know the name of the gate? The Sheep Gate. Because that's the day that they enter the sheep to be slaughtered. And the day of his entrance to Jerusalem is very important because of it's the 10th of Nisan, the month that and the day that they let the sheep in. So he entered with the entering sheep from the same gate to be kept in Jerusalem until the 14th, which is Thursday. And on Thursday he'll be slaughtered. And that's exactly when he established, when he broke his body. Now, the Jewish people felt that, the leaders of the Jewish people, that everyone loves him. Everyone is following him. Everyone is singing. They have these things shouting with joy, with palm trees and olive trees, branches, showing that we love his entrance. We love his victory. That's the triumphal entrance to Jerusalem. Then the hatred came in, selfishness. A person that is in the midst of the glory of salvation, the Redeemer is there, they think of themselves and their dignity about a couple of decades that they still live on earth, and that's important. About salvation, they don't think about it. Sometimes we are of that category. The salvation of the Lord is displayed for us. We look at the cross in front of us and we think of trivialities. Think of money, possession, position, promotion, and selfishness. And this is the style of the other type of feeling. And the third is his own feeling, the Lord himself. He cried because they don't know their salvation. He cried for them. He loves them. He longed to have them, but he can't force them. The Lord will never force us for salvation. It's our decision. There is no love with forcing. If the Lord loves us, he has to give us the freedom, even to reject him. And that's what happened, that some people are rejecting him and they are losing. My share in that is that I'll become a child. I beg the Lord to give me the feeling of a child in Jerusalem, crying, saying Hosanna in the highest. I beg the Lord to change my heart such that this week will not be lost. This week, I try to promise the Lord, but I beg his help that I end this week as a different person. Please, Lord, give us this gift, that this week will make me a different person. I come out of this week with new feeling. I'm interested in my eternity. I'm interested in knowing him. I like to become friend to the Almighty. I like to be very loyal to him the rest of my life. There is nothing on earth that is worth compared to the love that I can have towards him. I like to be fixed in him and he in me. As a child, I'm crying for this help. Hosanna in the highest. That's the time. Another thing that today has been displayed to us, which is very important, is the modesty of the Lord. 2 days ago, I had a child coming for confession. She's a girl. Think about 9 years old, 10 years old. I think it's yesterday. And somebody came and gave me a small donkey made out of this palm trees. Then I thought to open a discussion with the girl. I told her, you know that? Why? She said, yes, that's the donkey that the Lord entered Jerusalem on. I told her, why on donkey? She said, Abuna, he's modest. He doesn't come in on a white horse like the prince of the world. No, he came with a peaceful way, and she spoke in a wonderful way. I hope that she come next to me to explain to us the modesty of the Lord Jesus Christ in the entrance. He came with the, there is no person on earth that will agree to be born in a place to shoot the animals, the start of his life. There is no mother on earth that will agree to give birth to a child in a stable with all the dirt in the place. That's the place that the Lord selected. A very poor family, he chose to be amongst this poor family. He chose to be pointed on as his father as a carpenter. Nowadays, carpenters are a very honorable type of position, but in that time, it was a very lowly type of skill. And they have no money. And the evidence is that when they entered Jerusalem, they couldn't buy reasonable present to the temple. So they bought only doves, which is very cheap. because they were very poor. And then when he entered Jerusalem, he enters with this state. Now, when I look at this, and then I think of my dignity and my position, and they respect me, they didn't respect me, they took my opinion, they ignored my opinion, I feel ashamed. I feel ashamed of myself. What is that type of noise that come to my mind out of satanic influence to be interested in people clapping for me and saying good things about me, and while my Lord is that modest? The Lord displayed for us that model beyond the limit. Washing the feet of his disciples is something amazing. It was the work of slaves. There is no normal person that will wash the feet of a person. Nowadays, washing the feet became honorable. The Pope washes the feet of the congregation on Thursday. But the time that the Lord started this ritual, there was no honorable, normal person that ever agrees to do it. It's too dirty to bow down in front of feet of people. This is only slaves that they buy by money, and they employ them as slaves. All their job is very dirty type of job. They wash the feet, and the Lord did that to everyone, including Judas. So that style of modesty, all the week, we have to keep it in our mind all the time. Otherwise, we are not acceptable to him. We are not his children if we are not similar to his thoughts. If we are not understanding the way he thinks, then how can I become friendly to him? How can he take me as a friend? And he says, I know him. If I am arrogant, expected people to respect me, to take my opinion, to thank me for something that I did, to clap for me that I am good, while the Lord himself is like that. I'll never forget this experience that Abuna Yohanna told me once when he went to China for the first time to establish and attempted to establish some service there. So he went there, and in the airport, unfortunately, the people that had to welcome him didn't come. He doesn't know how to communicate there. But anyway, he could communicate with them, and they said they are coming in the morning. And it was night. So he had to sleep in the airport. He doesn't know even how to go to a hotel there. And he had to sit on a bench that has no back the whole night, waiting for the morning, that those people will come and to welcome him. And he was very sleepy. But there is, every time his head drops, there's nothing that he can put his head on. And then he was like to do anything. So he grabbed his Bible, and randomly he opened any page to get some amusement, any message from the Lord, and his eyes dropped on something that kept him weeping the rest of the night. You know what's that something? It was about Christ, that he had no place to settle his head. Because that exactly was Abuna's experience, that he doesn't find where to put his head on that desk. So our master is like that, and then I think of the trivialities of this world. By the way, just a bit of explanation, why the Lord made the choice happen as such. He said to his disciples, go to the place and you'll find a donkey tied, and no one was on that donkey before. Untie it and take it. Then it may happen that somebody will tell you, what are you doing? Then say, the master need it, and he'll let go. And that's exactly what happened to them. Why the Lord did that? Such that no one in the history, including his own disciples, would imagine that the Lord planned it, as if he is fulfilling prophecies about a known Christ, and he's trying to make himself that Christ. So it had to be miraculous to prove to them that this is not planned by him. It is the divine intervention that made every step in this. Other than that, somebody was telling me today that a donkey that has never been ridden is not trained. You know that there is a long process of training donkeys. If you try to ride a donkey that is not trained, you learn a lesson that you never, if you are still alive after that, it rejects. The donkey by its nature rejects being ridden. So there is a long process of training. But of course it didn't need, especially that when he took the donkey and entered this crowd with these palm trees and branches, it's too scary for the donkey. The donkey can reject the whole situation, but of course it's a bit of additional miracle. In addition to the fact that the concept of no one was on that donkey before is meaningful, because that's the meaning of consecration that we should understand. The Lord is very concerned about consecration. Consecration means that something for me is not for any other thing. And this is important in Orthodoxy or traditional church to understand. The thing that is devoted to the Lord is not to be touched normally, including his mother. Like the mother that carried him is not to be used to get other children or get married. No, this is consecration to the Lord. But I return back to this idea that if I need to follow the Lord, then I have to have his nature of being very modest. This is translated, manifested in our daily behavior. Sometimes our language reveals that. The language of arrogance, that you speak of yourself in a lofty way, that this is my opinion, this is the way I like it to be, and you don't accept others, you don't even listen to others saying their opinion. May the Lord teach us the whole week. This Passion Week is a chance to enhance our nature. If we finish the week with no new style, better than before, then who knows? Who knows how many Passion Weeks will pass? The Passion Week is very strong effect on us. We learn many things through the readings and concentration and the prayer and the fasting. As we always every year ask everyone to make this very special, like this week we should not get ourselves busy by anything like watching TV or even speaking idle speak. This is the week of maturity. We live in that simplicity of modesty and simplistic style like a child. I remember about this simplistic style that Abuna Bshoel Antoni once was giving a talk to the youth, and they told him that we knew that there are a number of saints that came out of the monastery that you are living in. What is common upon them? What's the nature that makes them? And in a very clear way he said, one common thing about all of them is the simplicity. Very simple people. They are not complicating things. The simplicity, we don't complicate things. We take it as the child. I just, to make people interested a little bit, I tell you a story about simplistic person that also lived in that area, but that was in the 4th century. His name is Saint Paul the Simple. Many of us know his story, but whenever I remember his story, I know how you can take things in a simple way and you live in happiness. He was married and went back home one day to see his wife cheating on him with a young man in his bed. Sure, she was too scared to death. The 4th century, something like that is enough that he'll kill her. So she was too scared, and of course the man disappeared. Then instead of killing her, he told her, my sister, it is my mistake, I apologize. It looks that I'm much older than you, and I robbed you from the happiness of marriage, so you needed another person other than me. Please go ahead and have him as a husband. And he left and went to Saint Anthony the Great, who was living at that time, begging him to accept him as a monk. There are many situations that he did similar things, this man, But the idea of, it seems that this part of the world, St. Anthony, is the simplistic way. We accept things simply, as a child. What if I tell you, go and open the door or bring me a cup of water? We do that with the children in a very simple way and they feel joyful. Imagine that this happened among us. Possibly some people will not be simple enough. So if you like to enjoy the spiritual life, have that model of simplicity, have that model of modesty that the Lord is giving to. This is the chance for revival. Really, the chance for revival. There is nothing that revives us more than the passion of our Lord. There is nothing that moves the heart more than that. If you don't benefit from this week, then you are mistaken, because that's the best thing that can move the heart, to see the Lord carrying His cross for my own sake. The feeling, the maturity of understanding what He did exactly. I'll tell you something that happened with Billy Graham some more than 20 years ago. One very rich American person told him that I'll subsidize a revival in my city. And he booked him for a number of successive days. And he paid everything. So the first day, 40,000 people came, which is amazing. Then Billy Graham starts speaking in his charismatic way. And you know this style of people, when they finish, they say, those people who like to deliver their heart to the Lord, come forward. Then on that night, two or three people out of 40,000 came forward. And Billy Graham was really, very disappointed. First, he was embarrassed that this man paid all this money, thinking that revival will happen in the country. And then, but all what came, few people. Then that rich man told him, well, look, don't be upset, but can I draw your attention to something? You haven't said a word about the Passion of Christ tonight. What do you expect people delivering their life for? Tomorrow, speak about the Passion of Christ and see. That story is written by Billy Graham himself. The second night he came, and the whole night he spoke about the Passion of the Lord. And the revival happened in among the whole. Everyone feels the maturity of somebody dying for me, somebody shedding his blood for me, carrying the cross for me. He was innocent. He did nothing wrong. It's me. All this pain has to be mine. All of us are scared of pain. Whenever we know that there's disease or whatever, we get scared of carrying that pain. But He carried that pain for us. So that's really the maturity that we understand. Always this week is the reason for revival to many people. Every year we have people coming. I remember a number of years ago, there's one person that was not Egyptian, was planning to get married in another church because of some conditions, and he attended one night here. At the end he came forward and said to me, this is my church, I'll get married here, I'll baptize my children here, I'll live the rest of my life in this church. Just one night, out of the passion of Christ that he saw the model. We live in the Coptic church day by day, hour by hour, what's happening exactly, and this is the way to touch our hearts and move us. A group of our friends attended the movie of the Passion of Christ. A girl came to me and said, amazing experience happened. She was sitting next to a group of muhajjabat, some ladies that were there with this veil, Muslim ladies. And she said that the whole movie, they were sobbing with a sound all the time. The passion, we should not weep because of his passion. We weep because of the sensitivity that he did that for me. He was not weak. He said it today. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourself and for your children, for the coming generation. He wept for them because he knew what can happen. That's the day that he told them, your house will be left for you desolate. The Lord in the Passion Week is both very gentle but strict. Strict. Because if you are not moved through His passion, then when will you be moved? There's a scary CD. Unfortunately, there was no time to print it. I was planning to distribute it today, but the time was short, by Pope Shenouda about how to prepare yourself for the Holy Passion. In this, he said that if you ever dare to sin during the Passion Week, then the penalty will be multiplied, because you are just saying to the Lord, I ignore you. I ignore what you did to me. If you are not feeling the need to repent and ask Him to forgive you now, when will you? So let us really, as we leave the church tonight, or even as we read the last prayer, have this feeling that, Lord, please, please, this will be different. Maybe tonight I go out from here with new feeling, new person. My old bad ways will be different. My beloved sins, I trample on them. My desires to do wrong thing is over. I like to live the rest of my life for you. I like my life from now on to be your friend, to be loyal to you, because that's the chance for me to survive forever. Glory be to your name forever. Amen.